Okay, first I'd like to welcome those who incentives brought them over here, Baruch Hashem. The guys who are clapping are the guys who are here every week. I remember 2 years ago I was not officially in the yeshiva, I was coming in, and I came around this time and I gave my shmooz. I'm like, wow, they really like me. And then someone says, no, they're paid to be here this week. So, but it's supposed to have everybody here. So, we're in the middle of a topic here, but you can get, whoever missed the last one can, actually, we basically said that we've been in a process of many, many shmuzin, all of them building on each other. But what we've been trying to discuss is the inyan called Emunas Chachamim. We pointed out that if a person wants to be immersed in Torah, so the Aleph base, the ABCs of learning Torah is to realize how real the Torah is, how real Chazal are. If a person thinks that Chazal are pretty smart, so then they read it like a book of someone who's pretty smart. If they believe that they're Iluyim, so they read it like Iluyim, like they're reading something of someone who's super intelligent. But that's not how we come to Chazal at all. We come to Chazal as Dvar Hashem, which is something of infinite wisdom. Chazal, who are bringing us our Mesorah, are telling us things that it's a Chiddush that we can even read them in a book. Bichlal, it's a Chiddush that we can tap into them. So the starting point of taking learning seriously, to really begin, is having emuna in the people who gave it to us. Like we said, the Mechilta says, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo. There are two types of emuna you need in life. You need emuna in Hashem, and you need emuna in Moshe Avdo. You need emuna in the Shluchim of Hashem. Because if you have a flaw in those who are the Chachmei Mesorah, in how you view them, then our connection with Hashem in our learning process is over. And that's why the Rambam, when he brings different types of apikorsis that a person can have, the Rambam writes that in addition to the apikorsis of denying the Mesorah, there's another element that the Briskers are Medayik, and it's Pashup Shah in the Rambam. It's someone who's makhish magideha, someone who defames or lowers the status of Chazal, who makes them regular people. Such an idea is an apikorsis, because it undermines the entire Mesorah. It undermines everything that we stand for. The truth is, though, before you can even start emuna, believing in something, which we said emuna doesn't mean just belief, it means to trust. You have to ask yourself if you want to trust somebody. Right? There are a lot of ramifications for trusting someone. We pointed out last week, if someone wants to trust the Surgeon General's warnings on cigarettes, so they have to want that, even if they think he's saying MS, but it's tight. You know, if a person's well in it, so it's hard to stop smoking. Similarly with all the things in life. Even if you see MS in your face, you're not always going to believe things because of convenience. There's a Maisa that they tell over in Tells. It's a Masaira. It's written up in the Shiri Das and also in the Mariel Diskin's biography, The Seraph of Brisk, that there was once a group of Maskilim. The Maskilim in the last generations in Europe were these big troublemakers, big apikarsim. They knew a lot. They caused a lot of trouble. And they were really a disease in the body of Klal Yisrael. And these maskilim, there was a guy named Davidoff, and Davidoff and his friend Leviton, they lived together, and after the semester in the college, wherever he was, Davidoff came back to his friend Leviton, and Rachmana Litzlan, I don't know what happened, why he didn't go, but he committed suicide in the attic of their dira. Anyway, so Leviton's life moves on, but you know, not too long after, and he's sitting there in his dira, and on the first floor, he notices at a certain point in the night that there are clumps of the ceiling falling down, and in a methodical, systematical way, boom, 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 and it's almost like someone scraping. So obviously, this is not good for Mr. Maskil. You know, he was also scared of the boogeyman. Even Maskilim are afraid of the boogeyman. And this was crazy. And he called his maskilim friends, and they decided to play poker over there to figure out what's going on. And they stayed up through the night, they were playing poker, and all of a sudden, like clockwork, all of a sudden, boom, boom, clumps of the ceiling falling apart. Fine, they were getting very freaked out. Some of them started putting on tzitzis and started wearing yarmulkes. They didn't know what's going on over here. But they decided to go to the Telzer Rav. The Telzer Rav said, what do you want from me? I'm not a Kabbalist. I'm a Rav, but I can tell you one thing. He said, if somebody committed suicide in the attic of that place, mistama, some of the dam, some of the blood is embedded in the panels in the attic, and it's towing kfura, and it needs a burial. He says, if you take out the planks from the top, and you give them a proper burial, everything should be fine. So they go, these maskilim, you know, these Rosh and Marushas, and they make a funeral procession for these planks. And Baruch Hashem, they can continue playing poker over there, nothing. But you know what happened, unfortunately, afterwards? Their yarmulkes came off. Their tzitzis came off. Because the boogeyman was gone. And once the boogeyman's gone, hey, but what do you mean? What happened over here? Didn't you see what the rabbi knew? Didn't you see that he understood? Yeah, but whatever. We have to live a little bit. And a lot of times we do this too. It's not that we are lacking in our emunah, in our trust, but the ramifications of the reality of Torah and mitzvahs actually requires a person to become a bigger person. Because if the chachamim were so big, so having a dialogue with them in morning seder, in musar seder, in whatever they're saying, is going to force us out of our tininess. And that's something we have to keep in mind, which is that we have to want to listen to Chazal. We have to want to go into their world. That's a world that's so big, so infinite, that just to touch it is already making a big person. So now the question is, though, for this week, is what do we have to believe? Meaning last week, we talked about the importance of trusting in Chazal. Now the question is, what do we exactly have to believe about them? What is it? If you tell me what I have to think about Rabbi Akiva, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Ravina, Rav Ashi, all the Chachmei Mesorah, what am I supposed to think about them? So we'll try to get into that a little bit. And you can't start learning without knowing this. I know it's a little late. People are old already, but better late than never, as they say. And that is that one of the Kinyani HaTorah, one of the Memches Kinyani HaTorah, the 48 ways of acquiring Torah, is called Emunas Chachamim, which means it's a prerequisite for starting. Torah is having Emunah and Chachamim, but what am I supposed to believe? I'm supposed to believe that they could turn me into a bunny? You know, it's like scary things like that. What in the world am I supposed to believe? So, a lot of times a person comes to learn Torah, and they come, and I hear this from people, and I'm sure you hear this, and they're coming, and they read a Gemara, and they're reading, you know, Rav's, or Rava, or Ravashi saying this, and goes, I don't know what he's talking about. I would say differently. We're having a, you know, there's a serious disagreement between Bob and Ravina and Ravashi. He's like, he's crazy. His mom is, he's off his rock. I don't know what the man is talking about. This is nuts. He's nuts. He's pasha nuts. And you know what? They have a point. I have to admit you to you. Sometimes you start a Gemara, and you're looking at this. It looks totally bizarre. It looks totally distant from you. And then the person just comes, and it's now in the boxing ring is me and Ravashi. You know, we're going at it each other. That is not how we learn Torah. That is not how we learn Torah, because basically what's happening now is what I've made is there's Ravashi and me, we're buddies, and it's his opinion and my opinion, and then there's nothing here. Why don't we just write our own? We could write our own Gemara for the same money. You know, if he has an opinion and I have an opinion, but what's the answer to that? If I really think it's so distant, so strange to me, so then how do I get over that? How do I deal with that? And the answer is very simple. That fakert, it's the opposite. If you would think that the Gemara wouldn't surprise you with its ideas, if you would look at a Gemara and nod all the time, like, oh yeah, then we would have serious trouble. You can't learn either. The goal of the Torah is to teach you things that you would have never known had Moshe Rabbeinu not gone up to Har Sinai and brought things down. They are supposed to look to you at first glance to be things that you never would have thought of. You think Hashem needs to give you a Torah that any third grader level of morals and ethics and this are in there? Of course it's in there, but that's the tip of the iceberg. The Torah is always coming to surprise you, always coming to challenge you. Take your Balabatish approach to life and reshape it and make it more sophisticated, make it divine. So the first hanacha, the first understanding is, when I'm approaching Rav Ashi, imagine you come into Albert Einstein, and he goes, Shalom Aleichem, how you doing? And he goes, E equals MC squared. Like, whoa, chill out, man. Like, say hello, like, this is a weird guy. He needs to be committed. You have no idea what E is, you have no idea what M is, you have no idea what squared, you're out. That makes him the Meshuggah? No, it makes us the Meshuggah. Because the pshat is we're disconnected to something that's much, much greater than us. Every Gemara has to be starting with Akasha. Not Akasha like, he's crazy, I don't know what happened to Rava today, what's going on with Abaye, but the Akasha is my life right now, where I am, and the Gemara are distant from each other. And the Akasha brings out an opportunity for me to figure out how I can get closer to their reality. The whole goal of learning is to bridge that gap. Of course it looks crazy. And then the goal is a person gets a kinyan in Torah, he rides the wave of wherever they're taking him, and eventually he becomes somebody with Das Torah, with a level of understanding of life, of ethics, of law, that is simply divine, simply lamala from anything that we could imagine. But it starts off with a process of trust. To begin the dialogue, we have to know who's in front of us. There's a very strange Gemara. And we're saying that Gemaras are strange. We're going to bring an example of a strange Gemara. A Gemara that insults us, and I'm asking no one to take this personally, what the Gemara has to say over here. But the Gemara tells us the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations. Amar Rebbe Zeira Amar Rava Bar Zimuna. Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim, if the Rishonim, the earlier generations, are like angels, Anu B'nei Anashim, we're like the sons of people. Vim Rishonim B'nei Anashim, and if you'll say that the earlier generations are like people, who are we like? Anu Kichamorim, we're like donkeys. Okay. Then it says, "Veloki chamoro shel Rav Chanina ben Dosa." Don't think you're like the donkey of Chanina ben Dosa. I know you guys. Oh, I'm a donkey, but at least let me be like the donkey of Chanina ben Dosa. And don't say you're like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. You're not like that either. Rather, you're like Kshar Chamorim. You're like a regular donkey. Wow. So you read a Gemara, Rabosa, we're all donkeys, but we're not donkeys with a kippah on their head and payas. You know, Pinchas ben Yair's donkey was very frum. He didn't eat from forbidden things, from things that were usher, and he didn't eat from stone things. We're not even like those donkeys. Why are Chazal insulting us over here? Let us be at least like, if we're going to be a donkey, fine, but let us at least be a very Jewish donkey. What is so terrible? What bichlal is going on in this Gemara? So the pshat is pashat. The pshat is that Chazal are telling us, if you want to understand the difference in generations, and you want to understand the Chachmei Mesorah, you have to view yourself as a different part of the chain, a different creation. There's an animal kingdom, there's a plant kingdom, right? There's the domain, there's the rocks, there are people, there are different classifications in the Bria. You want to know how different we are? If they're like angels, they're in the spiritual world, then the gap is they're this Bria, which is something that doesn't even have a body, Bichlal, and we're stuck in this physical realm and we're people. And if they're people, you know who we are like? We're like donkeys, but not like Pinchas ben Yair's donkey. You know why? Pinchas ben Yair's donkey had a little bit of Pinchas ben Yair's hashpa. He was a little bit higher. And we're like the regular donkeys. Imagine having a chavrusa with a donkey, right? There are people who have chavrusa problems. So your Rebbe says, we got somebody, they bring him in. You sit there with him and you're reading through the Gemara. How are you supposed to have a dialogue with someone like that? Now think how the Chachmei Mesorah, they're dealing with us. We're reading, we're like, you know, Betsy the cow is reading the Gemara. Moo! What? He doesn't even have an opinion on the matter. But you know what's even worse about Betsy? Betsy doesn't even know that she's has it bad. She's got her straw. I went with my kids, Baina's mom, and we were feeding the cows straw. They're happy. You give them straw. Betsy sits there. You know, the Gemara's not going. You give her straw. She's happy. If you say to her, by the way, Betsy, there's somebody who's bigger than you, she's like, no, everything's good over here. No